You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems a certain voodoo priest who have the power to bring him back to life.
That's horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Ah, yes. You mean like Democrats? Bob Hope. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And now, Jimi Hendrix. Ah, yes. Jonathan Turley today. Law professor, Chicago guy. Comes from a Democrat household. Wrote a piece on the Fox News webpage with the headline, Democrats Lost One Precious Thing at Hunter Influence Peddling Hearing. Was it a big vial of cocaine? Was it a list of phone numbers for Russian prostitutes? Ukrainian businessmen that want to funnel money? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Jonathan Turley writes, this week, Democrats appear to have finally drained away what remained of themselves and their party. For years, Democratic members, I think he's talking about members of Congress as opposed to being a vulgar slur. For years, Democratic members and the media have demanded any evidence of the direct involvement or knowledge of President Joe Biden, of influence peddling operation, of his son, Hunter, and his brothers, James and Frank. Frank's kind of been getting away with this. He's off on the periphery over there. And the news media doesn't cover the news. They cover it up. At the hearing, you may recall the hearing. We were playing pieces of it for you here. Tony Bobulinski and so on. At the hearing, witnesses testified under oath about specific meetings with Joe Biden discussing these foreign dealings and family business interests. Bank records were introduced showing the transfers of millions, that's millions of American dollars, going to Hunter and various Biden family members. Faced with the evidence that the president lied about his lack of any knowledge or involvement in the influence peddling, the Democrats opened their fingers wider. They went like this. Representative Dan Goldman, Democrat New York, captured the problem for Democrats in even addressing any of the mounting evidence contradicting the president. Yet Goldman has long shown a willingness to rush in where angels fear to tread. Now, the Democrats continue to deny. It's just deny, deny, deny. It doesn't matter the mountain of evidence in front of them. And you point to the mountain of evidence. You read it aloud to them. And they turn around the next minute and they say, what evidence? And they go to the cameras outside like they're Adam Schiff. And they lie and they lie and they lie. And they say, well, there's no evidence here. When they've just had hours and hours of evidence presented to them and everyone can see it. It's as plain as day. And they just lie because, you know, a lie repeated 1,000 times becomes the truth. And that's the way they view the world. Just like Joseph Goebbels of the Socialist Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler. Yes, sir, just amazing stuff. In previous attacks, Congressman Goldman repeatedly hid the Bidens with friendly fire when eliciting damaging answers from witnesses. Goldman has a habit of raising the worst evidence that his colleagues have avoided. In one hearing, he stumbled badly in raising the WhatsApp message where Hunter Biden told a Chinese businessman that his father was sitting next to him and would not be pleased unless he sent him money. It's a classic shakedown, pretty straightforward stuff. But the Democrats pretend that there's nothing to see here because they're very comfortable lying all the time. It's quite atrocious, really. On another occasion, he, Goldman, prompted an IRS whistleblower to note that an email Goldman read into the record was actually a direct contradiction of the denials of the president. But pay no attention to that. So the law professor Jonathan Turley, award-winning legal scholar. And he goes on about the Democrats just lying their way through all of this and pretending, and this goes to the news media as well, pretending that the hearing with Tony Bobulinski didn't prove anything. They just keep coming out and saying, well, there's no evidence here. These, I know, I deal with liberals in media who make these ridiculous claims. And of course, he points out that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez cut off Tony Bobulinski to say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, sir, excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It's a category. Hey, what is the crime? And this whole thing is just so embarrassing that Jonathan Turley had to raise an eyebrow at all of this. With that, it appears that Trump has now been cleared of charges in Atlanta by no one other than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Racketeering is a crime, and some of the crimes referenced by Tony Bobulinski are commonly part of such conspiracies. But pay no attention to that. They just, and then there's Big Guy, and the Big Guy gets his 10% cut, and Tony Bobulinski's talking about that. But never mind that. Then Jonathan Turley, writing toward the bottom of the piece, he writes about himself. He says, as a lifelong Democrat from a politically active Chicago family, one of the most corrupt political operations in the United States of America has always been the Democrat Party in Chicago. I have corrupt family members that have been involved in the Chicago Democrat political machine growing up myself, but never mind that for now. As a lifelong Democrat, he writes, from a politically active Chicago family, I can no longer recognize the party of my youth. Sounds like things that I've said many times before. We once stood for something other than the next election or hating others. Sounds kind of like things that I say quite frequently, too. I've always liked Jonathan Turley. I've met him a couple of times over the years. And he's obviously a very smart guy, and he's a very pleasant man, and he's a good man, and he seeks the truth, which is unfortunately a rare characteristic in grown men these days, certainly in Washington, D.C. But he says, by the end of the hearing, virtually every Democratic member had attacked the witnesses and denied the obvious corruption surrounding the Biden family. They had become a party of Richard Riches. Richard Riches. That's like Richie Rich, poor little Richie Rich. Of course, this unified effort to deny the obvious left little time to look down at what remained in their hands. The Democrat Party is gone. This is the international left, and that's a gang of criminals, and that's the Democrat Party. Turley continues, they had owned the moment when the party fought to shield one of the most extensive and lucrative influence peddling operations in history. That's the Democrat Party. It is. It is. And the news media is key to this whole thing. None of this works if the media doesn't back you up in the fraud that you're perpetrating. But good for Jonathan Turley. As a lifelong Democrat from a politically active Chicago family, I can no longer recognize the party of my youth. We once stood for something other than the next election or hating others. It's the old point and hate. And Jonathan Turley was asked this morning on the Fox News Channel about the piece that he had written. And I have two sound bites for you that I want to share with you. Jonathan Turley talking about the Democratic Party and what has happened to the Democratic Party. And if you're a member of the Democratic Party, you should listen to this because Jonathan Turley is smarter than you, and he's telling the truth.
I don't know how we got to this point as the Democratic Party. This is a party that is now actively supporting censorship and blacklisting. It's a party that has supported ballot cleansing and court packing. It's a party where you've got people like former Senator McCaskill calling witnesses Putin lovers because they're appearing against the Biden administration. You have Democratic members who are saying that you are a Russian fellow traveler if you raise questions related to the Biden corruption scandal. And at some point, you have to ask, well, what have we become? I mean, what do we stand for? It's unrecognizable for many of us who've been lifelong Democrats. We used to stand for something. And now it just appears that it's about the next election, or it's about hating Trump more than loving other values like free speech.
That's all 100% true and very well put, I've got to say. They're an anti-free speech party. They're an anti-First Amendment party. We have this dim-witted Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is and doesn't believe in the First Amendment, believes that the First Amendment could impede the government's ability to censor people. And that's why she was picked for the court, because she's a radical, a left-winger, anti-intellectual, not very bright, has gotten a free ride through her life in the United States of America. And now the Democrat Party is pro-censorship. They trample the First Amendment rights of their political enemies, and they have a great many political enemies. It's the party that used the IRS against their political enemies under Barack Obama, the party that funds Iran to the tune of tens of billions of dollars, that defies the Supreme Court and pays off student debt for people who they believe will vote for them then. And then they stick truck drivers and mailmen with the bill of more than $100 billion to pay off the student debt of people that went to Harvard and Princeton because they're extremely corrupt. And it's about time people like Jonathan Turley started stepping up, and there should be a lot more people like Jonathan Turley stepping up and telling the truth and saying it out loud. They're the party of ballot harvesting and ballot cleansing, the party of court packing, the party that accuses anyone that speaks up of being a Russian agent. Hillary Clinton has accused Tulsi Gabbard, a now former Democrat member of Congress from Hawaii, who is also still in the National Guard. I believe she's a colonel or lieutenant colonel. She served in combat zones, and Hillary Clinton accused her of being a Russian agent.
I think they've got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary. She's the favorite of the Russians. Yeah, she's a Russian asset. I mean, totally.
Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian asset. Yeah, totally. She's a Chicago Democrat, too. She's a communist. She's not an American at all. She's not. There's nothing American about her. She's a power-crazed psychopath. I think technically a psychopath is fair. And Jonathan Turley summed up the current Democrat Party very well. You're a Putin lover. This is, they used to mock Senator Joe McCarthy, who was calling out communists in the government. And by the way, in the 1950s, there were a bunch of communists in the State Department and in the government. And now, hey, where's Tail Gunner Joe when you need him? Joe McCarthy, of course, a tail gunner aboard a bomber in World War II. Hillary Clinton, just a bomber. Jonathan Turley, again, on the Democrat Party, what happened to the Democrat Party of yesteryear?
The Democratic Party is now an anti-free speech party. It is actively pursuing censorship, blacklisting, funding groups to go after even the revenue of sites that they don't like on the right.
And they define everything that is not hard left to be on the right. They are an anti-American party. And Jonathan Turley should use the term anti-American as well. Yes, sir. And when they've got Jonathan Turley turning, he's a very articulate. Is it racist to call him articulate? I think he's articulate. He's the first mainstream white guy to come along who's articulate and bright and clean. It's like a fairy tale, man.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American.
Yeah.
Who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Yeah.
That's a storybook, man. He's articulate. He's bright. He's clean. He's got all that going for him. He bathes like a professional. It's amazing. Joe Biden, that's not racist, though. Like when the Democrat congressman yesterday said jigaboo in the congressional hearing, that's not racist either. Now, if he had said macaca, well, actually, he's a Democrat. He can say, as the party of the Confederate States of America and Jefferson Davis and Jim Crow and the KKK, they can say whatever they want about matters of race because, you know, they're the Democrats. That's what information dominance can do for your political party. We remain at 888-630-9625. Thank you, Jonathan Turley. And he says, sounds like he's still identifying as a lifelong Democrat. Probably time to get over that. You don't want to be affiliated with an organization like the one he just described there. What self-respecting person would?
You know?
Hey, it's Chris Plant. Excited to tell you about our July 2024 Listener Sea Cruise. We'll be sailing around the British Isles, visiting Scotland and Ireland. Please join us. Visit ChrisPlantCruise.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Let's take a telephone call, shall we? Talking to the nice people. Jonathan Turley summed it up pretty well. Almost as well as I do on an almost daily basis, but I'll give him time. Let's go to the phones, Michael. Let's go to Caesar calling from Washington, D.C. Hail, Caesar. You're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Very well.
Peace be upon you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Look, Chris, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution.
Yes.
Excessive fines and excessive bail and excessive punishment shall not be imposed.
Yes.
What happened? Are they wiping their feet on the Constitution and say, well, don't pay attention to, you know, the man behind the curtain? What's going on, man? Because this stuff is getting out of control.
Well, you nailed it. They could care less about the Constitution. The Supreme Court told Joe Biden he couldn't just give our money away without going through Congress to buy off voters by paying off their student loans, and he continues to do it anyway. The court has told him that he's responsible for securing our border, and he doesn't do that. They don't care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution. Caesar, they're the left. They're not liberals. They're the left.
Way left. Hey, Chris, the thing is, so is this a dual system? It's just us, not justice? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, it is.
It's getting out of control. I mean, are we witnessing the deconstruction of a Western civilization before our eyes? I mean, this stuff is really nauseating, you know.
It is.
You know, squatters, all this. I mean, it's like you have to navigate a minefield. Squatters, immigrants, this and that, you know. I'm scratching my head. And as a veteran, I didn't sign up for this. You know what I mean?
This is not what you put your life on the line to protect and defend. This is basically the left is an invading army, and they've taken over the Democrat Party, and they've effectively taken over the American news media and most of academia. And the United States is really on the ropes, Caesar, I got to say.
Yeah. I mean, I remember Trump said it a couple of years ago. He said, you know, they're coming, when they're coming after me, they're really coming after you. And yep. I don't think anybody really, you know, listened to what he was really saying. And I remember a book by Tammy Bruce called The Death of Right and Wrong. And so everything is relative now. Oh, no, you know, it's nothing going on here. It's nothing to see. You know, keep it moving. Don't believe your lying eyes. Come on, Chris.
I'm with you, Caesar. You know, they're not getting anything past you, and I'm happy to hear it. And you're right about the Eighth Amendment as well. They're not liberals. They're the left. Now, Caesar covered a lot of territory there. A lot of good stuff. I like the peace be upon you. It's the old Islamic honor there. And PBUH, peace be upon him. I'm guessing Caesar served in the Middle East, throwing out the peace be upon you thing. And he covered a lot of stuff. And a great laugh. And one of the things he talked about was the squatters. What's going on in this country with squatters? What kind of a third world banana boat are we running here? It's a fair question, I think. And one of the stories, and I mentioned it a bit earlier, that in New York, there is, they've destroyed the city of New York, the Democrats have, because they're not on our side. They're not on the side of civilization. They're the left. And in the 20th century, they murdered 100 million people and destroyed scores of countries and subjugated people by the hundreds of millions, quite literally. Now, the headline from ABC Fake News in New York, squatters wanted for murder after woman found dead. Well, that's good to hear. A woman is found dead, and she's in a duffel bag. And so they found her dead in a duffel bag. And ABC Fake News has the story. The 52-year-old victim died from blunt force trauma to the head. Well, that's kind of fascinating because that's how Laken Riley died, and the blood is on Joe Biden's hands, no doubt about it. Two squatters are wanted for murder after they allegedly killed a woman who walked in on them living in her mother's New York City apartment, police sources told ABC Fake News. The victim, Nadia Vitel, a 52-year-old woman from Spain, came to the United States to prepare her mother's Manhattan apartment for a family friend, sources said. The Kips Bay apartment had been vacant for the last few months after Vitel's mother died, you see. And then Democrats moved in because they're criminals and they're planning on stealing the apartment. When Vitel went inside, she found a man and a woman living there, the sources said. They just moved in. A struggle erupted, and what appears to be it appears that Vitel was thrown into a sheetrock wall. The two suspects then allegedly stole Vitel's Lexus and drove to New Jersey and then Pennsylvania, following the GPS on the vehicle, where they crashed near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, on March 14th, Vitel's worried son, who hadn't heard from his mother in 2 days, accessed the Kips Bay apartment with the superintendent and other relatives and found his mother's body dead inside the apartment. Vitel's body was stuffed into a duffel bag in a closet with her foot sticking out of the bag. Vitel died from blunt force trauma to the head, and her death was ruled a homicide. The two suspects, who are Democrats, remain at large. Now, that's going on all over the country, and I don't know if you've been following this, but like Lawrence Jones on Fox News did a series of stories in Atlanta, Georgia, where Democrats have been moving into people's houses. You go on vacation for a week to the beach in Florida, and when you come back, Democrats have broken into your house, and they declare themselves to be the legitimate residents and owners of the house because they're criminals, you see, and they will steal anything that isn't nailed down. And now they'll steal your house, which is nailed down.
They're saying that you're squatting here.
No, I'm not squatting. My son got it. He's in jail. He was paying these people every month. The police been out here already.
Yeah,
and we talked to them already.
So we talked to the realtor here that owns the
local. I don't care. I talked to the people. They gave me, told me, I can
so you, so you paid them every month.
Every
here.
Month at the P.O. box.
So what are they?
At the P.O. box, paying, the P.O. box paying them every month. No, the owner of the home says, no, we don't know these people. They're not renting our house. They're on and on. Now, there's another story today. Another New York homeowner arrested. Listen to this. The homeowner was arrested after changing locks on alleged squatters, reports say. And this is the CBS station in Albany, New York that has this. But the incident is New York City once again. A homeowner in New York City was taken away in handcuffs after she tried to change the locks on her home to keep out a group of alleged squatters, ABC 7 in New York City reported. Adele Andalaro, who told the outlet that she's the owner of a multi-million-dollar home in Flushing, Queens, in one of the five boroughs, New York City, which she inherited from her parents. In a recent visit to the property, the outlet captured an unknown woman unlock the front door before leaving. Pretty amazing stuff. Once inside, Andalaro found two men inside who claimed to be the tenants. These individuals then allegedly called the police on her. When police officers arrived, they asked the men to prove their resident status when Andalaro had the property deed in hand. She has the deed to the property in hand. She inherited it from her parents. She has the deed showing that she owns the property. She's in possession of the deed, 9/10 of the law, but the squatters had moved into the property, 9/10 of the law, because possession and all of that stuff. While Andalaro had the deed in her hand, neither individual could present leasing documents to back up their claims. Now, that's so they're in the house and there's There's video of it, and the people. It's just appalling what's going on. It's happening all over the country. The police show up. Well, listen to this. One man showed the outlet bills, the news organization bills, for work he claimed to have done on the house. He also claimed to have moved into the house with the help of a realtor, but would not name that realtor. Officers then escorted the two men out. That seems appropriate. After that encounter, Andalaro, the legitimate owner who had inherited from the parents, reportedly called a locksmith to change the locks on the house to keep these strangers, these random people out. Minutes after having the locks changed, the two men returned and called the police, reportedly saying Andalaro had illegally evicted them. In New York, you see, it's illegal for a landlord to turn off utilities, change locks, or remove belongings of someone claiming to be a tenant, because state law also grants rights to those who have been squatters for at least 30 days. This is apparently true in Washington, D.C. as well, and in a lot of other places in Georgia. Police told Andalaro the issue had become a landlord-tenant dispute, which could only be settled in housing court. Sure. Police then arrested the woman, Andalaro, for the illegal eviction, and they put her in handcuffs. They put her in handcuffs because our country has lost its ever-loving mind. And the reason is liberals. Let's agree. So the conservatives didn't do this. Conservatives didn't create these laws. Conservatives didn't say, well, if you've been there for 30 days, it's almost like you own the place. You don't have a rental agreement that you can show anybody. You can't prove they've been paying rent to anybody. Oh, no, a P.O. box, like the lady in Georgia over there. Regardless of when the alleged squatters arrived, eviction cases in New York City take an average of, listen to this now, 20 months. That is a year plus 8 months to be resolved. That's an average. It could be 3 years, meaning the people staying there will have rights to the property long before the case is heard. Pretty amazing. Just amazing. Well, until the case is heard. Poorly written sentence there by CBS Albany. ABC 7 reporters in New York City say they are now hearing from city residents who claim to know the specifics of this law. Some say if police approach them over a squatter dispute, they know to immediately claim they've been on the property for 30 days. So you move in for a day, right? And when the police come, you say, oh, no, I've lived here. I've lived here for months. I've been here for a long, long time. Yep. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? Yes, sir. And Kips Bay is it's a neighborhood in New York City adjacent to Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay. Turtle Bay sounds fun. I think Mitch McConnell has a house there, which is where the sun is. It's east side of Manhattan. It's expensive. And these random people just moved in, right? And now you want to get them out? Well, it could take years. Cost thousands of lives. And who says just because your parents owned it, paid for it, they died, you inherited it, that you have any say in the matter? Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Just extraordinary. America 2024. There is a story of another Democrat here, Carly Russell. She became famous. Everybody was looking for her all over Alabama and beyond because she was allegedly kidnapped. And remarkable stuff. Alabama woman who faked her own kidnapping gets probation for hoax. Gosh, it's kind of like Juicy Smollett. Wait a minute. Oh, we got some Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson for you today, too. Carly Russell, an Alabama woman who faked her own kidnapping last year, pleaded guilty Thursday and avoided jail time, according to CBS affiliate WIAT. Russell, then a 25-year-old nursing student. Huh, that reminds me of Lakin Riley, who was a 22-year-old nursing student that was murdered by an illegal alien, waved into the country by Joe Biden and released from jail in New York City. Russell, then a 25-year-old nursing student, told Hoover police she had been abducted on July 13th after seeing a toddler on the side of the road. She told police an unknown man had forced her over a fence and into a car. And for the next 49 hours, hundreds of police and volunteers searched for the missing Russell. You see, she suddenly arrived at her home on July 15th and told officers that she remembered being in a trailer truck with a man with orange hair and a woman. She also alleged she could hear a baby crying in the truck. She had a big story that she ginned up in the thing. She told police she was eventually able to escape, and police were suspicious of her timeline. Eventually, she admitted to fabricating the abduction. Now, she pleaded guilty Thursday to making false police report like Juicy Smollett and falsely reporting an incident to law enforcement in the Jefferson County Courthouse, WIAT reported. And Russell will avoid jail time and instead receive a six-month suspended sentence. Suspended jail sentence, and she was given a year probation and ordered to serve 100 hours of community service for faking this police report and all that stuff. Russell will also need to pay the city of Hoover $18,000 in restitution for the fraud that she perpetrated. Now, this is, of course, reminiscent of the man with orange hair, and it was a white man, and she's African-American, and she was kidnapped and held her for 49 hours. And it was all made up. It was all a lie. What she was really doing, you know, boink, boink, who knows. But whatever she was doing, she was lying about it. She was making up, and the man with orange hair and the trailer and all this stuff, and it was all fake. Now, that does remind us of Juicy Smollett, doesn't it? And then we've got, let's go to Brandon Johnson in Chicago. He's the mayor of the city of Chicago, I believe, at soundbite number 16. And the judge there, it says Brandon Judd, but that's okay. We'll straighten that out. And the Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, Illinois, yesterday, he was very upset because they had a bill in Chicago having to do with what they're going to do about homelessness in Chicago, and it was a referendum, and you know we had this primary election, and this was included in the primary election the other day. In Chicago, and the Democrats, they lost. They lost their thing. They had hoped to pass this crazy homelessness bill, and people in Chicago, the voters in Chicago, said, no, I don't think we're going to follow the Democrat plan here with all of this crazy stuff. So Brandon Johnson came out and talked to the press, kind of, and you'll never guess who he blamed for the Chicago Democrats losing their referendum because, you know, it's the usual thing. Homelessness in Chicago, they got all these illegal aliens by the thousands on all this stuff. You know, Mayor Brandon Johnson nods to possible loss for Bring Chicago Home. That's what they call it, Bring Chicago Home, this homeless bill. And he vows he's going to continue to fight. He's going to keep fighting to the Bring Chicago Home referendum, which failed. Now, under repeated questioning Wednesday at a city council meeting, the mayor refused. He naturally, because he's a Democrat, he doesn't have to answer questions, to say exactly what he would do to continue that fight, nor would he say whether he would try to search elsewhere for more revenue, because you know they're going to need a lot of money. So their big plan to keep fighting for homelessness. But why did it lose? Why did the referendum lose? Who did he blame? It's crazy.
Also not lost on me. I think there were 38,000 Republicans that showed up and voted for Donald Trump or something like that in Chicago. So, you know, since if we're trying to draw some conclusions and you all want some other, you know, analytics you might want to discover, that might be something to look into, because there's a good chance that played a part in this referendum. So the same people who want to see Donald Trump become president, you know, sometimes I do feel like he wants my job, but who wants to be president again, those are the same voters who voted for him, and the same voters where you look at where there were more no's, they were concentrated there.
He needs to be institutionalized. He's obviously mentally unstable. Donald Trump wants your job, and sometimes I think he wants my job, and Trump voters showed up because this, you know, that reminded us of Juicy Smollett, too, because you remember Juicy Smollett, he put a noose around his own neck, he went out to get a sandwich in an Arctic blast at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's very severely mentally impaired, he's got really major mental issues like so many Democrats, and he said, remember, the Trump voters grabbed him on the street because they recognized him. Nobody recognizes him from anything. And the darkness bundled up and for the Arctic cold. And these random Trump voters walking down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning in an Arctic freeze saw Juicy Smollett and ran over to beat him up and say it's MAGA country. And they had a noose with him and they put it around his neck. And a lot of Democrats believed this.
There is no doubt in your mind what motivated this attack.
I could only go off of their words. I mean, who says empire?
Nobody.
This MAGA country.
Nobody.
And ties a noose around your neck.
Yeah, I had a
and
noose.
And pours bleach on you.
And they had bleach. 3 o'clock in the morning, they had a noose and bleach, and they used the N-word, and they knew the show. What's the show?
Empire.
Empire. Nobody knows that show. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson suggests Trump voters are to blame for failure of city's tax hike referendum. But we're going to house the homeless. The Bring Chicago Home Real Estate Transfer Tax Referendum promised to bring $100 million a year in to combat homelessness crisis. They were going to tax the rich and tax breaks for the not as rich. And he's blaming Trump voters in Chicago. Everyone should leave Chicago right now. Everyone should leave New York right now. The Babylon Bee with a great headline. Checkmate, colon. They love their colons. Trump sneaks back into White House, invokes squatters' rights. See, you move back, and there's Joe Biden walking by the door, and Donald Trump's already inside. Also, there is major breaking news right now involving President Trump. You know, he is supposed to pony up $454 million in cash by Monday. Well, huge breaking news. Truth Social, his social media platform, now merging with another media group, and it will put $3.5 billion in Donald Trump's pockets. $3.5 billion. CNN says that doesn't help him.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.